You're listening to the True Talk podcast, the place for real insights on real estate with real people. In today's episode, we're listening to the founders of Trulo Mortgage, Daniel Jacobs, Matt Wise, and Brenda Jarvis.
Okay, guys, so we're doing a podcast.
It's your first one?
That's what I hear. I've been planning for weeks.
So the concept here is that, you know, we're going to talk about the origin of Trulo Mortgage. We're going to talk about how it came to be and, you know, set the table for our future podcasts, which are going to be awesome and some really great conversations.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. So, Daniel, you talk about it. Like, how did Trulo come to be? What's the origin story for our little adventure?
It's interesting. So most people know that the three of us worked together for many, many years, but we were in a corporate role. And I remember going to a meeting. Brenda, you may remember when I texted you that night. I was in a board meeting, and the CEO said, "Hey, things are going really well. You turned everything around while you're here, making money. We don't need the staff we've got anymore. We can increase our profits by cutting 30% of the staff. So I'm going to need a plan for you to do that in the next few days." So under the table, I texted my wife. I said, I'm leaving this company. This isn't going to work anymore. I think I texted you or called you next. And so we knew we were leaving. We just didn't know what we were going to do. And we said, why don't we just start something from scratch and do it exactly the way we want? So that's really how Trulo Mortgage began. That was that meeting, I believe, was February of 2019.
Yeah, it seems so long ago. So just to fill in the gaps, like, we all worked at the same previous company. We've worked with each other for really over 20 years. There's a lot of years under the table here between the three of us. So I want to talk about, like, when we started in 2019, the great story that I love is that we literally worked out of coffee shops and Brenda's other business. Shout out to Pet Wants.
And your kitchen.
Kitchen, everybody.
Whoever had Wi-Fi.
We were at anybody's house, whoever had Wi-Fi that day. That's a great story that, to me, you know, we were working, the three of us, in a coffee shop using borrowed Wi-Fi. We paid for the coffee.
Except for her house.
Yeah.
I never paid that.
Yeah, that's true. And then flash forward to today, earlier today, the day we're recording this, we had a party with our employees in this beautiful office. Yeah. And it seems like an eternity ago, but in reality, it was just, a few years.
That's right.
So what do you remember about that time, Brenda, when we were working at your other business?
Right. I do remember that we were writing on pieces of paper about what our goals were, and I was thinking to myself that we are not going to get there, being a pessimist. But not only did we get there, we had ridiculous months that I couldn't even have imagined at that time. So
that's right.
it's pretty awesome.
Well, let's be realistic. We launched this 6 months before COVID hit, and at our old jobs, we had good, solid stability, and here we were starting this thing on our own. Didn't know any realtors. Our old job was a management position. And I remember when COVID hit thinking, what have we done?
Right.
Where are we going to get a loan now? Can we go back? Little did we know that it would bring about one of the best mortgage markets in all of our careers.
Yeah. And even back before that, if you remember, in 2019, when we started this, we thought it was like the worst time ever to start. We felt like we had a lot of headwinds against us, but we were determined either way. But we thought, it was a bad time.
We were certain rates were going to go up any second now.
Yes.
And
I've been certain rates were going to go up since 2010.
Yes, you've been one of those people.
It finally happened.
Yeah, it did. It made up for the lost time.
It did.
So we went from having no business contacts in Charlotte. Now, we should say, we all live in Charlotte and have for many years, and we are all homeowners in Charlotte. And to say that we're enthusiastic about Charlotte real estate is an understatement.
True.
But we had no business contacts really locally. All our contacts were mainly throughout the nation. and we're working out of a Wi-Fi at coffee shops. And then what happened? Like we got some office space. That was its own adventure.
Yeah. Always with Daniel.
Yeah. How many spots?
Well, I had a desk.
How many spots?
I had a desk, yes. Brenda. You know I have a desk.
So. I know. It had to fit.
Yeah. Brenda wants me to get rid of that desk so bad so that we could just find any office.
Yeah. We're all our offices are the same size.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's not get into that.
Yeah. Everybody should know, like, one of our offices is bigger than the rest because of the infamous desk.
It's a structural issue with the building.
It's a structural issue,
right.
Yes.
It's a structural issue with the building.
So...
it's not anything I wanted.
Brenda, how many spaces, commercial spaces, did we look at back in the day?
Just for this office?
Just
for this endeavor?
Yes, just for this. Take away all the other offices over the years.
Other,
just for this.
I would say 30.
Yeah.
Seems about right.
I would have thought like 30 to 50, because after 30, they start blending
right.
in.
Right.
Tell me if you've experienced this. I've walked into buildings in Charlotte and then remembered that I've been in this building and I was like, wait a minute, I've been here before.
Just yes. So you know, it's different for me. If I walk into a building I haven't already been in, because we have looked at real estate space there for one business or another, then yeah. It's unusual.
Then it's unusual. Right. Like, why have I never been in this?
This must
be a new building, right?
Just build this?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, so the COVID pandemic hits, and then we survived that, you know, and we actually grew our business pretty substantially.
Sure did.
And it ended up being really good years for real estate and mortgage for some technical reasons. And we sort of weathered that storm and we all managed our lives during that process. What was that like from your perspectives?
Well, you know, it's interesting though. You say it was good for the mortgage business, and it really was, but not necessarily. We didn't have some of those tailwinds that a lot of mortgage companies had.
Yeah.
Because most people were spending the majority of the time refinancing their past clients. We didn't have that.
That's true.
We had to start from scratch. So in a way, I think it was a blessing in disguise, because what it allowed us to do, what it actually forced us to do, was to focus on our mission of creating relationships and focusing on the purchase market, which is the most sustainable. So a lot of people saw this big dip when rates went up because they didn't have refinances. Our dip from refinances going away was much more modest than most. So it was like one of those things in real time. We wished we had more refinances, but in a way it was good because it forced us to do the right things at that time. So
you mentioned our mission. Let's talk a little bit about that, because one of the things we did in those coffee shops was we sort of planned for what we were trying to accomplish and what we wanted to build. And from the ground up, you know, and so let's talk about that a little bit. What is that mission?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because I think we all three agreed that if all we were going to do was do the same thing everyone else did, we could have continued doing what we were doing, you know, or go work for some other huge company. And so we set out to do what we felt like was not being done, what, you know, fill that void in the market. And that came down to these simple words: the lending experience you'll love. And we figured if we just create the lending experience you'll love, we will have all kinds of prosperity. We'll create jobs. We will create homeownership for people. And
experiences.
And experiences,
we'll
yeah.
create them, you know, ones they'll remember in a positive way.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I think that I'm proud of is that we define you and the you'll love as everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not just the person getting the loan from us, but it's the realtor, it's the closing attorney, it's the loan processor, the loan originator. It should be fun for everybody. I think fun is having, you know, I think fun is part of that mission of the lending experience you'll love.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we negotiated through the COVID pandemic and then really a crazy real estate market the last couple of years, at the tail end of the pandemic. And we have so many amazing stories that we honestly could do a whole podcast on just the stories. Like, we've been at closings where tears are shed.
Yeah.
We've been at closings that, you know, that seem like this is the most important day of our clients' lives.
Many times it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, honestly, it is
truly amazing when it all comes together, and it reminds us, I think, every day about how special, you know, what we get to do. It's not like we're making widgets and then they just go out the door. We really do get to have impact on people's lives. So the crazy real estate market of the last couple of years here in Charlotte. What's that been like from your perspective?
Well, I can tell you this. Before I got in the mortgage business, I was in retail. I sold furniture. And one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, I got out of doing that was I wanted to get into a job that didn't require nights and weekends.
I was wondering where you're going.
I chose the wrong thing, okay? Because, boy, I'll tell you this. This market has been nuts, and it has required us to really, and not just us, everybody on the team.
Everybody
on the team to step up and be there when our clients and when our referral partners really needed us. And sometimes that's at 10:30 on a Friday night or 8:30 on a Sunday morning. And whenever the deals are being made, we've got to be a part of it. And so that was an unexpected element, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were in the same boat that a lot of people were in during the COVID pandemic, because everybody was trying to figure out how to work and manage. People had kids at home and all this. So it was interesting for us to try to figure out, as the market changed and most of the work, you know, was taking place on the weekend, you know, we were needed to get into the trenches so many of the times. So
the one thing I remember or I take to heart from the whole COVID experience was, well, I always think we have a very, very important role in the home buying process, of course. But when someone comes to you for pre-approval and they tell you that they're going to write a $50,000 due diligence check, and your pre-approval has to make sure that they don't lose it, that's pressure that we've never really experienced before. You know, not that we don't take it seriously and we're definitely going to get you to the finish line, but knowing that somebody's writing a check that big, just lose at one mistake that you may or may not make, was, I feel like that was a lot of pressure during that period of time that maybe some people didn't really understand or feel, but I did.
And I will say, this is, you know, it's interesting because there's three of us, right? And we all bring different things to the table and always have, which is why we started this together. But that level of empathy, I think, is one of the things that Brenda, everyone always understands and that we need, you know? Because, I mean, there are times Brenda says, what do you know? This is important. This person is writing a check. Or this person, she's always very, very concerned about how that other person feels, which is an important element of creating that experience. And I appreciate it, because sometimes we need that reminder, and you're always there to be there to make it for us.
Yeah, I mean, our goal of making a lending experience that you'll love means that you fundamentally have to care about your clients and care about your realtor partners and care about all your vendors and everybody that you're working with. And you have to care about your staff. I want to talk about that for a minute, because we've kind of over the years worked in different sort of environments from a culture standpoint.
Right.
And we wanted to continue sort of creating our own culture. We've been very lucky to work with some fantastic people over the years, and we've got a really amazing team put together. How do you feel about that? Like, what do you guys think about the team and how we've gotten to this point where we have underwriters, processors, we have a sales team, we have a Spanish speaking team. We are so, you know, it's beyond our expectations when we first started this. You know, what do you guys think?
Well, first of all, when we started, it was just four of us. It was the three of us plus Bailey.
Yes, Bailey.
Always.
And
shout out Bailey.
Yes, yeah. And who's always there to keep us organized and on task and keep things orderly. But now, you know,
wait a minute. I want to say my line about Bailey.
Yes.
If we had 20 Baileys, we could take over the world. I've said this for years. It's 100% true.
It is.
Like, if you could clone somebody, we literally could do anything we want. If you just had 20 Baileys, you could do anything you want.
100%
true. Yes. All right. Go ahead.
I don't remember what I was going to say. You asked me about...
our staff.
I know what it is. So, you know, we're part of a... For those who are, you know, listening to this, we're part of a coaching organization, and it's really comprised of, you know, really the top 1 or 2% of mortgage professionals in the country. We get together quarterly. There's all kinds of things weekly that we participate in. We have a every other week coaching session, which has been great for us to keep focused. One of the things that they say to do is find unicorns. They say only employ unicorns. Only have unicorns on your team. People that are just that good at their job and they're that irreplaceable. And, you know, I feel like we've got a good number of unicorns on our team. I feel like I know that when I go to bed at night, I never have to worry about how we're being represented and how our clients are being taken right. care of. I feel good about that every night when I go to bed. It is nothing I ever concern myself. In fact, it's a great point of pride. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's important that everybody on the team cares about the things that we care about. I think that we've hired really good people, and that goes a long way. And when you have shared goals and you're good people and everybody appreciates the culture that we have here in the office, it's a fun place to come into.
Speaking of which, do we have anybody that uses a Droid right now? Because I know at one point we were a little judgy if they used a Droid. I think everyone uses iPhones now.
I think we've converted everybody.
I think we do, yeah.
How did we get there?
I don't know.
Well, like-mindedness. He was saying. He was talking about like-mindedness.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so.
Now, but it's a chicken and egg thing. Did we weed them out or are we...
Did we scare them off?
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, whatever works.
I did say on the way out when we were on election day, on the way out to the parking lot, I said, well, to one of our great team members, I said, well, I got to go cancel your vote out. So we're not completely like-minded, but when it comes to client-centric things, I think we are.
Yes.
And look, when we get together socially and we have little events, I mean, we enjoy each other's company.
Absolutely.
And we have a good time.
Well, listen, this year we had a pool party at Brenda's house. That was fun.
We did.
Fire dancers.
Fire dancers.
That was pretty fun. That was good stuff.
I forgot about
that.
That
was good stuff, yes.
That I did not plan.
There were...
But I'm very happy they were there.
Multiple entertainment sources, yes. Even outside of the partygoers themselves who were entertaining as they could
be. We did axe throwing. We did bowling.
Yes.
Today we did a vision board. We did crafts.
We did crafts.
I was skeptical of and had a lot of fun doing.
We know how to party. Yeah. We broke out the crafts and the glue and
the
tape.
Yes.
And the mimosas.
Here in the office.
That's good stuff.
But, I mean, look, having the team around us and having capable people that can do an awesome job that you really enjoy is a fundamental part of what we wanted to create.
I want to follow up on the mimosas because...
All right, we'll have three follow-up mimosas.
Yeah, because there was a bottle of champagne left over.
Yeah.
And one of our loan officers came to me a few minutes... right before we started this. He said, there's a bottle left in there. He says, and I've got a really important client who didn't think she was going to be able to get a house. She had trouble with another lender. She came here, and it was a big deal. It was a really special moment. He says, do you mind if I use that bottle to pop it open when she and her family come to celebrate? And as I was walking in here to film this, I saw them in there toasting. And that, to me, was heartwarming. And to me... walking past that made me think we have accomplished our mission. We are doing what we set out to do. It was nice.
Yeah. We have so many stories like that that, you know, like I said, we could do our own podcast series on that. It's been an amazing journey. And let's talk about the future really quickly.
Yeah.
So we're the future of this podcast is we're going to have hopefully a lot of amazing conversations with a wide variety of people. But what about the future of TrueLoan? What are our goals going forward?
Well, you know, I think that we've, at Brenda's urging and continued urging, we finally created a full service Spanish speaking team and they're going gangbusters.
Yeah.
I mean, we are really doing a great job filling a need that's in the marketplace and I'm really proud of that. We'll continue to partner with a lot of agents, but, you know, our first-time homebuyer series, I think, will continue.
Which is something we started almost one of the very first things we started when we started. We kept it going through COVID, through the Zoom.
And then we got back to
being in person again, and it's probably been one of our most successful tools of allowing us to get straight to the street, bring some education, have a little fun, and really kind of get our name out there, both with agents and borrowers. It's been very successful.
It's the education, too. It's educating a future generation of homebuyers on the realities of home buying, what the process is like. And, you know, we've had as few as 4 or 5 people, and we've had as many as 60 people in the room at a time. And only a fraction of them end up actually buying a home, because sometimes we confirm that buying isn't right for them. But when it is right, we want them to be armed with the facts. And a lot of times, they're not ready, but they just got the information. And then they come back to us when they're ready. Matt, I think you've had as late as 2 years afterwards someone come back and say, okay, I'm ready now, right?
Yeah, there's so many amazing stories that come out of that one event. It makes me sort of laugh at our inside joke that we sometimes make, that we're an events company that does mortgages on the
yes.
side. The truth is, we do love some events.
Yes, we do.
You know, we've got a lot of history over the years of planning small and large events.
Yeah,
it's fun for us. We love getting together with people and being part of the community. Those first-time homebuyer seminars are just awesome.
Look, for me, it's a very personal thing. So you guys know the story.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I got into business is because we bought our first house, and I could not get anyone to explain in coherent terms what the process was. I couldn't get anyone to explain the terms on the documents they were asking me to sign. And it was really frustrating. I said, there's got to be a better way. So really, in a lot of ways, for me, it's coming full circle. It's the reason that I decided to enter the mortgage business to begin with, going back to that educational aspect for first-time homebuyers. And it does not hurt
right. That
the largest generation of homebuyers ever, millennials, is in the prime, you know, home buying mode right now. And so it's a big market, and I love that we're doing our part to educate them and hopefully help a lot of them achieve home ownership.
My two favorite parts of any first time home buyer event are when you are eating right as it's about to begin, and then when someone
wants to be hungry.
I know. And then when some random person in the back who's having a hard time getting their question, you know, like we're trying to field questions in the room, and Brenda's always like very aware of the person that's in the back, like that hasn't get their question. And it brings me to the question, like, how long would Brenda stay there if the questions kept coming? Like, would she stay all night? Like, if people had questions and they continued to raise their hands.
At some point, they would turn the lights off.
Yes.
And she would have to leave. So,
Yeah, but she truly cares about...
That's true. That's true.
About the people we're
somehow we've made out Brenda to be the only person that cares here, though. And I think I do care, too. I just...
Yes.
Different ways.
Yeah,
you've never seen anybody fight as much to get alone done as me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to toot my horn because I feel like I sounded like the one that didn't care.
Yeah, there's the fighting over the loans, and then there's fighting over everything in our office. It's kind of a family atmosphere, so... you know, our staff, I think, appreciates that, as they might hear us sort of screaming and bickering at one another, sometimes through the walls. But it makes for an interesting work environment.
I just wanted to mention, before we forgot, the other thing that we have recently started that I think we have so much success with already is our mastermind classes that we have with the agents.
Yeah,
you know, speaking of education. And so we've had 3 so far. We plan to have 1 or 2 more that we restart and then continue to go on. But those have also, I feel like the agents walk away with so much information that they didn't even know they needed to know. And then they can't quit talking about it.
And so do we, though. I mean, we learned so much about what is important to them, so we can problem solve for the problems of the day with them. I find them as much valuable for me to get information.
Yeah, but it's not just how we feel about it. Our feedback from them has been through the roof. I mean, they're really enjoying that experience, and that's the whole point.
I think half the agents that have attended have recommended another agent that they know to attend a future one. So I think that says
we're successful.
By the way, that means there's no pressure whatsoever to have great content for the next one. So, right?
Yes.
But they're great. I mean, you just bring a bunch of great minds into the room and there will always be good content.
So when you ask about the future, so I often think about what is it that I would like for people to think of when they think of True Loan, you know? And I think education is it. Because if you're looking at the most expensive purchase of your life and you don't have the education you need to make the right decision, then we have failed, you know, as the people providing that money, because the money isn't free and it's not cheap either. So people need to understand how the whole thing's going to work and nothing should ever be a surprise. And I think not only us walking them through the process, but all the additional things we bring to the table. I think being known as the lender that educates folks along the way is something that, as far as I'm concerned, is something I like that we bring to the table.
Yeah, and our clients say that too. I mean, the feedback that I get constantly is, hey, Matt, what you said in the loan consult was great. I always try to tell people that I'll tell them what we're doing now, but what's coming around the bend too, and let them know, you know, what to expect. And so when something, you know, happens, there are no surprises, and they know exactly what the next phase in the process is, whether even before contract. So it's the feedback we get from the clients too, that they appreciate that.
Yep. And listen, that's really what this podcast series is about.
Yep.
It's education, because we're going to be educated a lot and share that with all of our viewers. We're going to be talking with some of the top realtors in town. We're going to be talking with home stagers and getting great tips and tricks from them. We're going to be talking with home inspectors,
community leaders.
We're just going to be absorbing all kinds of information from all kinds of great minds to share with everybody. And I know we'll become better from hearing all the stories and the insights of our guests and sharing with others. So that's just consistent with everything we've talked about. So I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, this should be fun.
We can't stop. We can't wrap this up before we mention.
Of course we can't. Of course we can't. Because if you're getting ready to stop something, a conversation.
Yeah, we can't.
There's
no
way we could without him stopping us and continuing.
We have to. There has to be.
It's like getting two knives, but there's more. But no, seriously, I've got to mention that the theme music for this podcast was conceived, written,
produced,
composed, produced everything by Matt Wise. He's like one of those one person bands with the drums and the kazoo and everything. He did it all.
Kazoo in there?
Yeah,
I can put a kazoo in there if you need it. I'm really strong on kazoo. It's always been one of my better instruments.
So,
anyway,
yes.
Thank you guys.
So I heard it yesterday, and I loved it. I thought it was really good. So that was, if you like the music, it's
a like button.
Because
a like
Lauren
button.
Mitchell made sure to get it all done. If you hated it, it's Matt's fault.
Yes, exactly. So with that in mind, let's look forward to the future podcast and cue the music and roll it and get out of here.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, guys. Okay.